From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Radio you can touch.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Now you feel good because Max, who has a sense of humor of a pie.
Who threw those pies? Who threw those pies?
Oh, I threw the pies.
Either I'm losing it, my grasp on humor. I mean, I don't know, man.
Jeff Lutz.
Just be honest. The Downtown Athletic Club has no idea what you're doing. They don't know you exist.
Hey, listen. There's a phone call for you.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
No logic, no reason, no explanation. Just a prolonged nightmare.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-host. Max Power produces, engineers, 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline. It's funny that we heard the promo today dealing some with my vote for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, do you still have that?
I have been. I got some correspondence from the folks with the Heisman Trophy.
And what do we hear?
And they did a little audit of who gets the vote, and yeah. they wanted to weed out some of the people who.
I know exactly where this. I still get to vote.
Seem to be as involved as they once were, and they were satisfied that I met all the requirements, and they're honored to have me as a Heisman voter. I believe this will be my 20-something year.
Incredible.
As a voter for the Heisman Trophy. Thoughts?
Is one of the requirements wearing sunglasses on your head indoors?
Thoughts?
Congratulations. Who do you think you'll vote for today?
Not sure yet.
This year, this week, this month?
I'm not sure yet. Travis Hunter would likely be the top guy right now.
Still plenty of games to be played.
Lots of football left to be played, but I thought you'd be interested to know that even after an audit, the Heisman people...
How do you know there was an audit? Did they really say that?
They said that. They said we're looking at our voting mechanism.
I wish I'd gotten a hold of the Heisman people and told them that's the last thing you needed to hear, is that, oh, we even went through the process. We weeded people out. And you're still in. It makes for decent show fodder, but it doesn't make for a humble and grounded.
I think I'm very humble about it. I appreciate the opportunity.
Of course.
You're the one threatened by it.
Threatened?
Yeah, you just it bugs you to no end.
I wouldn't vote for the Heisman if they handed me a ballot.
Oh, you couldn't stop talking about it.
I wouldn't give them the satisfaction at the Downtown Athletic Club where the 90-year-old swim and the light fixtures are out.
There you go again. Knocking one of the great traditions in sports, the Heisman Trophy.
I don't know what goes on at that club, and I don't want to be a part of
that
club.
That's just where they meet. That's where they have the ceremony.
Yeah, but what is it?
It's an athletic club.
Yeah, for?
In New York City. I'm looking forward to it. I always look forward to casting my vote for the Heisman Trophy.
Okay, as you should.
Now, you could make the case, well, you haven't really been on the ground covering college football since you retired in 2017. Was it 2017? Yes.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Would make that case.
But they know that.
How do they know, do you think?
Well, they know that my qualifications now are from being the main host of a daily radio show.
But I'm threatened.
The main host.
Yeah, the main host.
Not the co-host, not the the sidekick, not the tag-along, but the main host.
So absolutely.
They take that seriously.
And why would they take that from you? How come, though, they haven't looked into, well, this guy does have someone attached to his name, another name attached to his on this show that we think gives him the credibility to vote for our nationally prestigious award. How come we don't take a look at that guy? Why do you think that is? It doesn't seem like they're doing a lot of due diligence. I think this audit
thing
is
You've never really done much to warrant being a Heisman voter. You have to be nominated and approved by your state's Heisman representative. And I was.
Who is that?
Used to be Kevin Haskin. I don't know. I doubt that he's still involved.
I wouldn't think so. But this Heisman organization sounds like they'll take about anybody.
Oh, now Kevin Haskin.
I'm just saying, another guy who's not really in the business anymore.
I don't think he has a vote anymore.
Well, he should.
Oh, now he should.
I'm going to lobby for.
But I shouldn't.
I wonder who the rep is.
I don't know. I've lost track of all that. I just know that the folks with the Heisman trust me beyond reproach.
Clearly. I'm sure your vote is one that will be highlighted during the ceremony.
You want to know what I did this morning? I hesitate to say it because it was really a somber meeting. The keynote speaker at the Youth Drug Summit at Eastminster Presbyterian Church. I was invited to speak by the Wichita Metro Crime Commission and Sharon Van Horn. And to talk about my experiences with the statue theft, and I did. But the first speaker was a KBI agent, Kansas Bureau of Investigation, who talked about losing his young son to fentanyl. And it was very emotional, very difficult. But the kids who were there were extremely attentive. All middle school kids. This is a drug summit for middle school youngsters from Wichita and the surrounding area. And it was I was really honored to be asked to talk about the theft of the Jackie statue by a man whose addiction to drugs led him to that crime and now to a long sentence in prison. Just unique. Just my life has changed in ways I couldn't even have imagined.
Yeah, that was a big event in the globe, and especially in your life. It sounds like you've mostly turned it into many positives, and today was another step on that positive journey, a positive experience.
When you're almost 70 years old and you get up to speak to a bunch of middle schoolers, man, I don't know. I told them, I'm this old man. But it seems like yesterday that I was in middle school, and that's the truth.
It does?
Yeah. It seems like not that long ago. I mean, I have vivid memories of my days in junior high school in Derby, and the difficulties I had as a junior high kid who had no clue. Just my whole identity at that time in life was, what can I do to disrupt? And I'm not really proud of that, but I came out of it.
Did you?
Yeah, I came out of it. But just to talk to young people and middle schoolers was quite an experience. I've done a lot of public speaking, but I haven't talked to a lot of middle schoolers. They seem to be paying attention.
Well, let's hope. I don't know. They're a tough crowd to handle at times.
Had a group there from Andale. Had a group from one of the schools here in Wichita. I think an Andover group. It was interesting. I was very pleased to be able to do that. All right, did you watch, which always results in...
I watched a lot of that game. It was boring beyond...
It wasn't a very fun game to watch. Now, the next game was Duke and Kentucky. Well, both of those teams are good. And KU's good. And Michigan State needs to not be in that tournament.
Can we talk about... Has the game passed anyone by more than it's passed by Tom Izzo? He doesn't go really into the transfer portal. I know they got one or two guys. They don't shoot threes. I mean, is this a team
out of...
Well,
they shoot them. They don't make them.
They don't make them, yeah. They don't shoot that many either. They've made...
They shot a bunch last night. They just couldn't get any to go down.
Yeah, they don't have shooters.
Tom Izzo's a good coach, but Michigan State shouldn't be in the Champions Classic anymore. That should be Connecticut. And it should be Connecticut, Kentucky, Duke, and Kansas. And they should never play it again in Atlanta because that place
was... Leave North Carolina out of that.
Now, Kentucky, obviously, is going to go to Atlanta. There were a bunch of Kentucky fans and a bunch of Duke fans. It's not too bad for them, but Kansas, Michigan State in Atlanta, that building was empty. It was there was no atmosphere.
And the game wasn't good.
It was difficult for Kansas to get its motor going. Remember their game against North Carolina where there was incredible atmosphere?
Of course, Allen Fieldhouse always has.
And KU played like it. Last night they didn't have that energy. They had enough to beat Michigan State, mainly because they just kept getting the ball to Hunter Dickinson, who kept scoring. But that's a good team. They're going to be fun to watch evolve. They're one of those, KU is one of those teams, again, that they won't be like last year where they had no depth and they hit a wall. They're going to be in it for the long run.
It seems like KU teams always settle into having six guys, though, somehow, some way. I'm not saying that, I don't know how that's going to happen, but it seems like Bill Self is most comfortable when he's got like a six or seven man rotation. I don't know if he knows what to do with nine guys. I know he's playing
he's had times in the past.
I know he's playing a guy out of Northern Illinois. I don't know that he should be playing. At least he's not starting anymore. But it's a different thing for Bill Self to have a little bit of a bench. And if anyone's going to adjust and figure it out, he's not Tom Izzo. He actually has evolved.
Well, they're going to play Zeke Mayo, who did not have a good game last night offensively. 6 points on 2 of 8 shooting, but he had 10 rebounds and 7 assists. That's the kind of guy Bill Self loves. Griffin's going to play. Storr's going to play. He had a big year last year at Wisconsin. Badunga is going to play as a backup on the inside. But last night he played five guys for the bulk of the game. Storr got 12 minutes, Badunga got 12 minutes, and Coit got 12 minutes. He only played eight guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you act like this team's going to have – I don't see that.
That's my point. That was my entire point.
Well, made it sound like he's going to – He's got all these guys. How's he going to distribute?
No, well, he does have a lot of guys, but I just don't think he's comfortable having a lot of guys. I think he's comfortable playing seven or eight.
Well, he's got eight guys.
He's got more than eight guys.
Yeah, but he's got eight guys who can play.
He's got eight guys that he wants to play.
No, he's got eight guys who can play.
No, I don't think that's true. If you only have eight guys who can play and you're KU, then you don't have enough guys who can play. He has eight guys he wants to put in.
Well, I don't...
And the eight might change, or the seven might change.
I don't think so. I think this is pretty much what you're going to see. And this is a good eight guys.
Okay.
Last year, they didn't have eight guys.
No, they didn't. And they might not end up having eight guys this year.
I predict they have eight guys.
You think Flory Badunga is going to be
a guy long term?
I do.
I think he's a good player.
He's okay.
He's athletic. He does exactly what a backup front court player needs to do. He's defensively pretty good.
He's getting minutes as a freshman.
I don't have a problem with him. To me, he's a guy. We have a couple guys on the show today. Derek Tuttle, head football coach at Andover Central, will join us at 2:25. We'll talk about their upcoming game with Wellington in the Class 4A playoffs. The winner of that one gets to the West Championship. And then they're just a win away from playing for a state title. Mike Furches will be our guest at 2:45 today. I got a lot to talk to Mike about, especially as it relates to the show called Yellowstone.
Oh, we can't wait.
Well, I bet a lot of people can't wait.
Oh, no question.
That's a fairly popular show, you understand.
I hear that it is.
It returned last Sunday night for the final episodes of its final season. I've got a lot to say about Yellowstone.
Okay. Well, we can't again.
Well, aren't you eager to hear?
No, I don't watch Yellowstone, so I'm sure Mike is raring to go and excited as possibly can be.
How do you avoid Yellowstone? It's right up your alley.
How's it? What is my alley?
Well, you like Western shows. You like shows like this.
I do.
Yeah.
Like what?
I don't know. I've heard you talk about them.
Huh, interesting.
Kevin Costner?
My one epic all-time, prestige TV show is and always will be Breaking Bad. And I'll watch Breaking Bad a 93rd time before I decide I'll watch a different show.
Really?
Pretty much, yeah.
What about Longmire?
Longmire. I watched half an episode of that.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, could it have been worse?
My wife and I absolutely love that show.
It looked awful.
It's one of the best shows I've ever seen.
No, I think my wife watched it. But
good for her. She has impeccable taste.
Started watching The Lincoln Lawyer last night. Have you delved into that?
No, I haven't gotten that.
Yeah, you should.
We're still getting through Newhart.
Yeah. See, but I get made fun of for watching Breaking Bad.
Well, there's nothing wrong with watching Newhart. It just takes forever because in those
days...
I thought
you said it started to not as be,
there were
not
24
be as good.
Episodes. No, it's still good. There were 24 episodes in a season. And when you watch them back to back to back, as we sometimes do... Now, we went 2 weeks without watching any. But then, recently, we watched 3 episodes in a row. And when Larry, Daryl, and Daryl are in all 3 episodes, and you get a little tired of that, but then...
Why? What's wrong with Larry, Daryl, and
Daryl? William Sanderson makes you think, you know what? He does so well with the Larry character that, no, I'm not tired of him.
All right. Well, this would have been a heck of a conversation.
You know, Ted Woodward
in 1981.
If we could have Ted Woodward here.
That's the show you want to do. Just do that show.
That is the show I want to do.
Just do the 70s.
Tony, if you could fire Ted from the Steve and Ted show and bring him over here.
And fire me?
And put Jeff on weather duty. No
just
offense to the weather.
Just do a podcast with Ted and talk all the 60s and 70s stuff you can possibly wrap
well,
your
we'd
arms around.
Well, we'd have to around. Go into Shocker fan. Wouldn't we?
No, we all would hope not. We'd like those characters to be retired. But you can
Why?
Certainly talk about your Newhart and your High Rollers and your Jane Fondas or whoever you're going to discuss.
Follow Ted on Facebook. He always posts about shows that debuted 40 years ago and actors who died 20 years ago, and it's a must follow if you're.
Am I gonna be that?
No, you'll never be interesting
when I get older.
You'll never be interesting.
Will I be just?
No,
a,
you won't.
Remember
be,
40 years ago
you
when
won't
I'm
be interesting.
I'm not asking if I'll be interesting.
But that's what interesting is.
Really?
Yes.
Living in the past is
That's
interesting.
That's not living in the past. Ted lives very much in the present.
He does?
But he also enjoys nostalgia.
Okay. I sent him a text during the Shocker basketball game and never heard back.
He doesn't like you.
That might be.
And is there any reason? It's obvious why.
Why?
Because you get on this show and you demean people.
Well, if you want to talk about stuff that happened before I was born, you're going to have to talk to people who aren't me. So find somebody. Because I can't give you what I felt or feel watching Newhart. I remember watching Newhart when I was young, but it's not something I feel like I need to go back and watch.
Well, I don't care what you watch. But why do you care what I watch?
I don't, but I'm just telling you, I have nothing to contribute if this show is going to center around things that happened many decades ago.
You asked me if I'd watched Lincoln Lawyer. Talk about living in the past.
Lincoln Lawyer,
a remake of a movie that came out
5 years ago?
Forever ago. Why do I need to watch that? I saw the movie.
Well, this is a TV show. It's different, I guess. Or it isn't. Who knows?
Well, you're living in the past, man.
I am?
Sure.
Well, I don't remember having a real fondness for the Lincoln Lawyer in the past.
Well, you never watched the movie.
There you go. I watched it with Matthew McConaughey.
I watched the movie.
Is that the movie you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, well,
it had to be at least 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was probably around then.
Maybe more.
Probably, I would say 2012, 13-ish.
So, yeah, I don't, get in the future, my friend. Get in the present.
Yeah, but at least there are people alive who saw The Lincoln Lawyer. 2011.
We'll take a break. When we come back, Derek Tuttle will be our guest. Andover Central has had a tremendous season, only one loss. They are trying to get back to the state championship game, which they got to last year. We'll talk with Derek Tuttle of Andover Central next.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5. And
Derek Tuttle joins us, the head football coach at Andover Central. They're taking on Wellington Friday night in a Class 4A Western semifinal at Andover Central. Derek, hello. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
You bet. So we talked to you at the start of the year. You expected that you were going to have a good year. Has it met your expectations?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're in a good spot at the start of the year with the number of kids we had coming back and a lot of experience, and you always are excited about that. But you never know with the schedule, how that's going to play out. And We had to overcome quite a few challenges this year, and overall, we're in a pretty good position at this point, and we have a big challenge Friday night.
You've won just about every type of game this year, or at least played in them. You've played in low-scoring games. You've played in close games. You've played in blowouts. I think Wellington might be kind of the same because they can put up a lot of points, as can you. What type of game do you expect on Friday against Wellington?
That's a good question. Sometimes when you see teams that are matched up that have, high-powered offenses, and it turns out being like a low-scoring game, so it's really hard to tell. But they do have a lot of weapons on both sides of the ball, especially in the receiving core. But they're a very balanced team. They do a lot of things extremely well, in the run game as well as the pass game. And so I expect it'll be, a close matchup. There's a lot of good matchups across the board as far as personnel is concerned. And the kids are excited for it, and they know it'll be a tough challenge because they're going to bring in a very good football program into our stadium.
Yeah, as a longtime observer of high school football, it's good to see Wellington back in some prominence. So applaud them and what they've been able to accomplish. Your team is really, really good, obviously, and you have some veteran leadership. Your offense with Jace Jefferson, who's had another really good year. You've got a running back by the name of Maddox Archibald, who's really good. You have a group of receivers. It's just a really well-rounded offense, isn't it?
Yeah, we like to think so, and I guess that's one thing that makes it easier for us coaches. It allows us to be a little more balanced offensively. We're able to spread the ball around in the air when we need to, and when we were challenged with that, we have a great ground game with Maddox, and of course all the veteran big guys we have up front blocking for him as well. So it's a fun group to coach, and the guys are they're really excited about putting forth the best effort this Friday, and it's an exciting time when you got a team like that can do multiple things.
I was going to ask you if you celebrate individual accomplishments, and I was going to use Maddox as an example because he's over 12,000 yards. He was over 1,200 yards. I meant to say 1,000, and it came out 12,000. But he's over 1,000. He was over 1,000 last year, about the same total. That would be the first part of the question. The second part is he seems to have found another gear this season. So what have you seen from him, and how has he improved?
Yeah, well, first of all, if he's got 12,000 yards, we need to give the ball to him a lot more than what we do. But no, <Yes. laughs> I get what you're saying. He's been a tremendous asset to our team, to say the least. I mean, he's been a leader for us offensively in just about every game. The funny thing about that is that we really don't touch on a lot of stats or really highlight a lot of those things until the season's over. And then we kind of pause and celebrate what we did reflectively. But, and even Maddox says that, he mentioned that to the newspaper guy after last week's win. He says, yeah, I'm not really concerned about the stats or how many yards, because he had a great game. He had over, I think, 240 rushing, something like that, against Winfield. And he says, yeah, I just want to help the team get on the next week. And, you really appreciate that, the character of that comment from a senior leader. And, and that's how he is. He's a very unselfish kid. He plays that way in all the sports that he plays in. But he's, as a running back, he's just really, really natural at finding the hole, making the right cuts, has great vision. He's not a very big guy, but he has a tremendous heart and tremendous fight when it comes to bigger and dirtier tasks, like some of the pass pro things that we ask him to do as well. Which don't really show up necessarily in the stat sheet unless it's a bad thing, with sacks. So he helps us in a lot of ways that might go unseen by the casual eye. Most people see him running for touchdowns, but he does a lot of really good stuff for our program.
Talking with Derek Tuttle from Andover Central. They are once beaten this year. They're going into a big game Friday night at home against Wellington in the Class 4A playoffs. The other side of the bracket has Wamego. Boy, they've built a heck of a program. They're at home against Bueller, which obviously Steve Warner, one of the top coaches in the state. How much do you pay attention to any of that, or is that just sideline noise until you can win the game Friday and then move on to thinking about Wamego and Buehler?
Yeah, well, as coaches, we're always kind of curious how things are playing out, and especially with that, that's a rematch game from earlier in the season, you know, where Wamego got him the first time around, and I expect it might be a good matchup this time around, but as far as the team and the rest of us are concerned, we try to stress to the kids that there is no next week, and that's the kind of the line that we use in the playoffs, is that there's no next week until we earn it, and so we put all of our focus and all of our attention on what's in front of us with Wellington, just to keep our mindset in the right place.
What are some of the barometers you use for week-to-week improvement? How do you know you're getting better? And I sort of asked that because you played Hutchinson in week one and really took it to them, and here they are in the same position you are. So obviously there's some improvement there. What about for you and your team? What do you look at mostly to kind of gauge that?
Yeah, the easy thing to look at would be, you know, on the things that show up on the surface, like your penalties, mistakes, especially pre-snap penalties, things like that. You know, are we improving in that area? But things that may not show up to, you know, the casual fan would be just the little technique things that we see as coaches on film. You know, are we doing the right things? You know, even in some of our big wins where we had a big margin of victory, did we do the right things technique-wise? Did we take the right steps? Did we have the right hand placement? And, you know, you could go on and on about, you know, did we run the right routes? Did we have the right spacing? There's a lot of little details to the game of football that, you know, we have the advantage of which I really like about football. You play one game a week, and so it's a really big deal each week. So the games don't get watered down, so to speak. And so that allows us more time to focus on those little details for improvement. I think that's what makes the game a lot of fun and helps us get better. And just the little details of the game is really what we look at there.
Talking with Derek Tuttle here from Andover Central, a few more moments. You know, the position of quarterback is so instrumental at the NFL level, the college level, maybe a little less so at the high school level. I'll let you determine that and answer that. But you have one of the best in Jace Jefferson, whose mother happens to be a friend of our show. We really enjoy
friend of everybody's.
We've enjoyed her over the years, Stana. And I want you just, Derek, if you don't mind, to talk about maybe twofold. How important is it at the high school level to have this kind of high-caliber quarterback? And then how high-caliber has Jace been for you?
Well, you know, it's a tremendous deal as far as and every high school coach will tell you that. And their old adage of, you know, quarterbacks sometimes get too much blame and losses and too much credit and wins and that sort of thing. And I don't know if that's the exact way to phrase it, but I will say that, you know, it's hard to put a value on having poise and making great decisions and having the character to not get too rattled and to bounce back after bad plays. And that's something that is not easy to do for, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid that by any means, let alone a, you know, college or pro quarterback. They have, you see some of that on TV and some of the body language that you see in higher-level quarterbacks. They struggle with, you know, adversity and things like that. And so that's what's been so impressive about Jace is not only is he a tremendous player, he's got great feet and got a great arm and very good accuracy. But probably one of the most impressive things is just how he's very, very coachable. He knows how to keep his poise in challenging situations, and he keeps his head about him. And that's hard to coach, and that's sometimes that comes naturally. And probably inherited some things from his parents, both of whom were, you know, coaches or former coaches. His dad is used to coach as a principal now, so. But that's a great asset to any team, and we really appreciate all Jace does for our program.
So you had Andover this year, obviously. They had a much better season. You played Goddard and Goddard-Eisenhower. Those games that between the four of you were all really competitive. And, you know, you share in common that you're the only two high schools in those towns. So what's unique about a town that has two schools, two football programs, obviously, especially two that play each other, you know, once or twice a year?
Yeah, it makes for a lot of excitement in the town, especially when the rivalry game comes up. You know, the kids get fired up for it, the coaches get fired up for it, and I think it's great for football. You know, it's something that I even had some people remark that they went to our Andover game. Actually, some JUCO coaches said that they went to our Andover game to scout a few players, and they thought it was one of the coolest things they'd ever been to, just the atmosphere of the game and how excited the fans are and things like that. And that's pretty special. You know, I think Goddard and Goddard-Eisenhower have that. I think Mace, May South do year in, year out. And so, you know, when we first started playing the game, it was kind of challenging because, you know, we're playing people that we were, you know, just teaching with and coaching with not very long ago, and kids we just had in class not very long ago. So it's a little easier nowadays now that we've been split a little bit longer, but it can be a lot of fun. It's great for football, like I said.
Derek, thanks for your time. We appreciate talking with you. Big game coming up Friday night at home against Wellington for Andover Central. Derek Tuttle, Andover Central coach. Thank you again, and best of luck on Friday.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks again, guys.
All right, there you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm torn on that one. I like, obviously, we want our immediate area teams to do well. But, you know, I'm fairly well known in Wellington now, thanks to my wife. And she's big in that community, and that's going to be a heck of a football game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that one shakes out.
You going to go?
No. Maybe I'll go into work on Friday night. I keep saying I'll do that and contribute and help out, but I haven't done it yet. Maybe.
We'll see about it.
We'll see.
I don't put much into whatever you think.
Yeah, I can do whatever I want. That's the great thing about
it. That's wonderful. It's great you have that kind of a job. I got to do what the people want.
What are you talking about?
I do what the people want on this show.
You do?
Sure I do.
What were you writing over on Facebook a little while ago?
I'm putting a post in there.
Is that post live yet?
Not yet. Okay. Working on it. Mike Furches joining us to talk pop culture. Mike, hello. Welcome.
Lincoln Lawyer. I think that movie was released in 2011. I've not seen the series, but I want to watch it. I thought the movie way back when, what was that now? Well, 13, 14 years ago is actually pretty good. So, but I
enjoyed the movie
anyway. Yeah, I did as well.
It's just ironic for Jeff to throw stones about me.
Stones?
About me watching things from the past.
When I'm watching a show.
When he's watching a show inspired by a 13-year-old movie, Mike.
Yeah. You know what, Bob? It's a shame that you're watching like probably the most popular and most talked about television show in the country right now. With Yellowstone, but you know that's how us old folks are. We try to stay current. You know that's better than some of the younger folks, I guess. So,
Mike, I want to start with Yellowstone because as with everyone who's invested in this series and enjoyed it, I was totally underwhelmed with the return episode. I thought they really treated the Kevin Costner situation poorly. I just didn't like any of it. And I'm thinking to myself after that episode, is there a likable character on that television series?
Well, the one son, that's it. And, but, you know, I kind of saw it different. I hate that Costner's gone. And, you know, after our discussion last week, I think we can pretty much say emphatically that he will not be back in any way, shape, fashion, or form. There's no way. But I think that, you know, Sheridan's going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat But is he capable of doing it? And I'm willing to give it a shot because I think there's a chance. It'll be interesting to say. I hope I can say this on the radio. Have that bleep button ready. But there's going to be hell to pay. And between Beth
bleep.
And the other characters in the show, between Beth and the other characters, we might see that. And who knows what's going to happen with this last season. But I'll be watching, that's for sure. So, but I hate that Kevin Costner.
I will be watching. I just feel like the whole Kevin Costner thing threw them all for a loop. Because they obviously had to address that. The series would have been much different had he not decided to leave. So they had to, this is a major, major change in course. And I just thought maybe they did the best they could. Maybe we knew it was going to be awkward and unsatisfying. But I don't know what you could have done to make it better. But it just didn't hit me right.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to necessarily make it better. It'll make it interesting. But I'm with you. I like Kevin Costner, but the contract negotiations and everything else, which caused the which caused the ending that we've got, the ending that we're going to see, I will guarantee you, is not the ending or the series that they intended. And everything's changed. Everything's changed because of it. But, Beth, as evil as some of the characters are, I'm kind of anxious to see how they get revenge to some extent. So it's definitely...
Yeah, people, it's going to be... I'm not giving up on it, but...
That and one of the movies that I just watched last night are people love it or hate it. And there are people that seem to love what's happening. And there are clearly many, many thousands of people that have walked away from Yellowstone. But I know others that love it that are excited to see the final season. So we will see, as they say.
And Kelly Riley, front and center in that series, Yellowstone, of course. Also a starring role in a movie you may be alluding to called Here with Tom Hanks and Robin Wright. And I know you've seen that movie. It's...
I don't think he's seen it yet.
I think he has.
Well, I wanted to see it with you, Jeff, and I kept waiting to hear back when we.
I know, and then you. Yeah, you came back with 8:15 or later, and on a and I just so when what, tell me your schedule because we are going to go see that movie.
What I'll do is I will email you the schedule. I did see the movie, and I'll watch it again because it's a movie that people love it or hate it. I loved it. I was so emotionally pulled. Robert Zemeckis is a genius. I think he is one of the great filmmaking geniuses of our time, and much in so many ways, like in Forrest Gump, he pulls some special effects. The way that they use CGI, we see Tom Hanks from a young teenager all the way through an old man, and it's all Tom Hanks. And they're using CGI or face capture. They're doing something. And it's incredible filmmaking the way it's. I've never seen a movie like it. The whole movie is shot from one camera angle of everything that you see on screen until the very end of the movie. And at that point, I'm crying. I'm literally crying and sobbing in the movie like a baby. And I'm a pretty tough guy. I grew up in a tough environment. And I don't think I've been as emotionally moved in a movie in a very long time. And so I will definitely I'll send you my schedule. And we can plan on going, and I'll go see it
Please
when you
do.
Want to. And I'll see it again, but I'll send it to you here a little bit after we get done with the show. So, but it's
yes,
it's
please do. I was gonna.
The way
go
they
ahead.
Let him talk about the
angle,
movie.
I was gonna ask about the
from
movie.
One,
go ahead.
From one angle, the whole movie from prehistoric until modern times, with about five different stories woven in together with one camera angle, it's truly amazing. And it takes place in the house across from where Benjamin Franklin grew up at, is all I'll say. But you see it from the beginning and the dawn of time is how the movie opens. And technically, from an editing, directing perspective, it will win the Oscars, I think. And if it doesn't, it's a shame. And you remember how Zemeckis used a feather in Forrest Gump? He uses the hummingbird here in very much the same way. And little things like that. And the story, Tom, it's one of Tom Hanks, I think, and Robin Wright's best movies ever. And I would gladly look forward to seeing it with you again. Yeah, it's that good. But there's people that hate
so,
it.
I was going to ask just.
Now go ahead. I read the reviews and just couldn't believe it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Mike, come up for air so Jeff can ask a question, and then you
I'm breathing some more.
I was just going to ask about the use of AI and CGI and, you know, what is that called where you can change the face to be somebody else? I can't remember the term for that, but all of this stuff that you can use now in movies, is it ultimately going to be for the better, do you think, or will it get into the wrong hands and maybe we'll see the underbelly?
That's a really good question. I mean, the whole question of AI, and that was the reason, if people remember, that was the reason for the strike with SAG-AFTRA. It had to do with how we use AI, can you use voices and imagery. And this shows the potential, the movie shows the potential danger of Hollywood, and I hate that word, of Hollywood as an example, being able to take advantage of and use and manipulate movies. And I think Hanks did this, you know, with his full collaboration, his full support. But it does show the potential danger of that, and we shall see. So, but I did see another movie, Bob. That I think that you and Debbie, especially Debbie, would especially love. And
well, we're gonna go this weekend. I'm gonna make it a point to go to a movie this weekend sometime, and get that behind me, and get that off my chest. I wanted to ask you. It was announced today that, and I forgive me for not being being able to pronounce her last name. Do you know that one?
I think it's just Nyong'o.
Lupita Nyong'o has been touted to appear in the next Christopher Nolan movie, joining Matt Damon, Tom Holland, Anne Hathaway, Zendaya. We don't even know the name of the movie. We don't even know the premise of the movie. There's been a lot of guessing. It's not going to come out until July of 2026. Christopher Nolan, obviously the last movie he made, Oppenheimer, was an epic. I believe it will go down in history as one of the greatest movies ever to be made. Now we have all this anticipation about his next movie. How do you live up to that?
It's very difficult, and sometimes we have expectation. Babylon was a movie kind of like that. There was all this expectation, and it seriously flopped. I would say that the names that's associated and many of those that you just mentioned, those are oftentimes indicators of a hit because they're in pretty good movies. And we shall see what happens. I tend to think that most of the things that he's created, if not all the things he's created, I think have been very insightful. And very, what's the word, very artful in a lot of ways, very art-oriented. So, and people forget about that sometimes.
Is he on the Mount Rushmore now of directors?
I think he is. What did you just say about Oppenheimer, one of the great films of all time? That kind of gets
well, who is? You have Scorsese and Spielberg.
Finish. Well, you got to learn give Mike his room.
Mike, here's something about you. I love you. You never finish. So we either got to.
But let him finish his thought.
Well, it's hard to tell. And there's so many great directors. Oppenheimer's definitely a great film, and Nolan and so many others, I think. You know, the Mount Rushmore of filmmakers has to include more than four, maybe upwards of six or seven different directors.
No, they can't do that on Mount Rushmore. So Jeff's point was, who do you see as the four? You think Spielberg.
Scorsese, Spielberg is the start of that. And I don't know who the other two are off the top of my head.
And I might, I'll see what my friend Mike Furches thinks of this. I would say maybe Christopher Nolan. But what about Alfred Hitchcock?
Well, Hitchcock would certainly be up there as far as I'm concerned as well. I'm not so sure about Scorsese. I mean, he's had some flops. And while I like most of his movies, I don't know if he would be Mount Rushmore worthy. Hitchcock, Spielberg, Nolan, and, you know, I'd have to think fairly seriously about that fourth person. But I don't think it would be Scorsese for me.
Well, if you don't put Scorsese, you'll have a dead horse's head.
Quentin Tarantino.
You're a dead horse's head in your bed tomorrow morning.
That
was a dark thought.
Spike Lee.
Spike Lee.
Yeah, he's on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
There it is. Tarantino, Spike Lee, Spielberg, the other guy I said, Scorsese.
That's well, what it. About Christopher Nolan?
Not over those four.
Oh, please.
We're talking please. About Rushmore.
All right, we'll get into this.
We have to direct. We have to draft directors next time. The other one I'm
hey, do me a favor and on a Facebook post, mention this discussion and yeah. and think about it and put your four up there.
Okay, I'll do that.
Don't go beyond four.
Okay, I'll go four. But the other movie I'm going to recommend is the best Christmas pageant ever. It is one of the better Christmas movies. The story is a great story. But especially, Bob, I think you'd especially enjoy it because when underprivileged kids are given an opportunity, the beautiful things that can transpire and the hope that can be given is an amazing thing. And I know that I fully believe that Debbie would love that movie. And I think you'll enjoy it as well. It's one of the most fun.
I remember loving that book in elementary school.
Yeah. It plays
a Sorry for the interruption, Mike.
Mike, I thought you had a period on the end of that sentence, so I apologize.
All right, Mike. Good suggestions, good recommendations. I look forward to reading your Facebook post on your Mount Rushmore of directors. I think it's a fascinating topic, and I'll certainly weigh in with mine on your post, okay?
Okay, sounds good. And Jeff, text me your email address again. I've got it, but text it, and I'll have it. I'll text you that schedule.
Sounds good. I'll do that.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Take a break now. We'll come back another hour to go. We'll talk some college basketball, some NFL, some college football. Tomorrow on the show, CJ Moore from The Athletic, as we talk more college basketball. We'll make our picks. And author John Feinstein will join the show. He's got a new book out. We'll talk a little bit about that. John Feinstein, one of the great sports authors. He might be on the Mount Rushmore of sports authors. Thoughts?
Could be.
Yeah. Thanks for your enthusiasm.
Francis Ford Coppola, though, I'd put in over Tarantino.
Because of one body of work?
Yeah.
Because of the Godfather movie?
Yeah, pretty much.
No. We'll be back.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.